live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Alex Elbrook.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
It's time to talk to my guest, Dr. Alexis Willett, author of Calmism, 8 Habits for Complete Rest. And we've been going through the rest, haven't we, every month. Good morning to you.
Good
for
morning.
A start.
Good morning.
It's a lovely blue sky. We're just saying how much it makes you feel better when you see the nice weather, isn't it?
It really does. It just so lifts the mood. And I will talk a little bit about going outside, but just get outside today, everyone, because we might not see this blue sky for months.
Exactly. Who knows when it's coming again? And actually, one of your early tips, which I have kept, is to just go outside and look up and do that and just try and take a few deep breaths when you need to just take it a bit slower. So we're going to look at sensory and creative rest today. Do we need sort of background for this, or you'll do that within what you're going to say now? So which one are you going to start with?
I'm going to start with sensory rest. And this is all about tuning into your senses, obviously, because it's sensory rest. And sometimes, I think when we talk about sensory rest and creative rest, what they have in common is this feeling that sometimes we just feel like we're going through the motions. Every day we're just getting up, doing what we need to do, going to bed. We don't take a lot of time to just stop, reflect, really tune in to what we're feeling, seeing, hearing, any of that. And why that's important is that this idea of that we're just sort of going, ploughing on, can just exhaust us in many different ways. So if we really tap into those senses, it can just feel us a bit, make us feel a little bit more human. But actually, there's loads of science, load of studies that show how if we really amplify those sensory experiences that benefit us, and try and dull or dim the ones that really exhaust us, it can have a huge benefit on our well-being and our sense of rest.
Now that's really interesting, because when I talked to Julian earlier about it, he was saying, "Well, I don't really know what sensory rest is." Well, I was saying, "Well, it must be that, you know, your senses become overloaded." And it's interesting you say the ones to dull down those and to amplify. So which ones are which?
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be very individual, isn't it? So we all experience life very differently. So I think a really good example is noise and sound. If you think about when we came out of those lockdowns, a lot of us were much more sensitive to noise and sounds because we'd got used to a much quieter environment, not just because we weren't going out every day, but actually the world around us became very quiet because we didn't have that level of traffic or aeroplanes going overhead. And so noise affects people very, very differently. Some people are very, very sensitive, and other people are much better at just blocking it out. They're very good at just going about their day. But we know from a lot of research, a lot of studies, how noise and noise pollution actually can cause physical harms, and in the way that people experience stress, anxiety, intolerance around noises and people around them, as well as inflammation and increased heart problems, for example, in some areas. So we know overall this can be harmful for some people. And I think it's really great if people can try and have periods of silence. And I sort of say this slightly with hesitation, because this can be very uncomfortable for people. Everyone, again, experiences this differently, but trying to take a period of silence every day, even if it's just a couple of minutes, it really calms down your physiology. It just allows you to have thoughts to come and go, or maybe you want to process your feelings at that time, or maybe just physically rest the body. It tends to slow the breathing. So if you can eke out any few minutes of silence, it's a wonderful feeling, and actually it really helps us process ourselves, be a bit more mindful, and create a bit of space in the day. So I talk a lot about trying to slow down your life. Now, this isn't just walking slowly or something. It's creating ease in your day. So if you've got loads of meetings, can you just find a minute or two between each, just to take a slow breath, to take a stretch, whatever it is? Or actually, when you're setting your diary, don't suddenly go, "Oh, I look, I've got this free day," or "I've got a free afternoon," and immediately fill it with stuff. Actually take that time, because that's where you're going to recoup some of your energy. So I think that's a really nice thing to do. But in terms of other ways we experience our senses, perhaps it's about some visual clutter. So decluttering is very important for a lot of people. A lot of people feel quite stressed by a very cluttered eye line or mess, should we just say, around them. So if you can just do anything to clear, even if it's just a small space, and then ignore all the mess behind you, you can face that space. It can just make you feel a little bit better, because it can feel a bit overwhelming if you have to do a whole house, for example. If you can just do a little drawer, a little shelf, maybe a windowsill, and then you can face that for 10 minutes, you just will feel better.
Yeah.
And there's so many things about, you know, touch. Again, some people are very huggy, touchy-feely, other people not so much. But touch is very good as well. And we know, again, we've got physiological benefits from that. So whether that's hugging people, cuddling your kids, even stroking pets, having a massage. Massages have been shown to actually be very beneficial for us. And not just because they're easing our muscles, because actually they're helping our physiology to calm down and rest as well. So there's loads we can be doing. But it's about giving yourself time to actually reflect on what might be good for you, what might benefit for you, and actually things that you could maybe try and avoid or tone down a bit.
And that's a very key point about thinking about things for you and not thinking that these are luxuries that we aren't deserving of, which I think is very common. Mm-hmm. I know it's something you think, well, I have to be busy because otherwise I look like I'm lazy or I look like I'm not doing anything. And in fact, that's probably why it was making me laugh when you said, if I see an empty thing in my diary, I think, oh, well, if someone asks me to do something, I have a whole day free or I have a whole morning free afternoon, I can squeeze that into there. And then you look back and you think, every single day I've just squeezed something in. I don't have any time downtime and I know I need it. And it comes at a cost later on in the week or whatever. So that's really interesting. And I found since lockdown, and also working in radio where we've got a lot of noise coming in all the time, I have to take all this off. And I don't often now walk with headphones on, which I used to always do, and think, oh, good, I get a podcast in while I'm walking, which is annoying, really, because I'm cutting down how many podcasts I'm listening to or audiobooks. But just to be able to look around and walk and take in, and my thoughts then are coming and going. So it's really interesting that you're saying that. And you know, when you said about taking time of silence, if you went for a walk, I mean, this noise is all around us. Does that not count, as it like, or is it good?
Yeah, you can take a period of silence anyway. You can even be around other people. You can be quiet in company.
Okay.
Obviously, when you're alone, that, you know, obviously the best silence is going to be in a very quiet room on your own. But it's about creating some headspace. So imagine if you went to a nice woodland walk. It's sort of the silence that you're not being bombarded with noise that perhaps, you know, over time stresses you out. If there's a lot of music or a lot of shouting or a lot of traffic. But you can just be in that sort of natural environment. And everyone, you can just go for a stroll.
Yeah,
I think that sort of solitary time and just allowing yourself to be, which we really don't do very often, and some people are quite uncomfortable with.
I know I grew up where I would do my homework with the television on or the radio on and sitting at the kitchen table with, you know, everything going on around. And I felt that was the only way I could concentrate. And even now, if I go for like an afternoon, have a little sort of what I call my 40 winks, I'll put the television on and I'll lie down and with the television. Now, someone said to me, do you know that you should probably turn that off? And then I think, oh, I'm lying there and there's all these thoughts coming through, and think, oh, it was almost like I wanted the noise to drown out my own thoughts. But sometimes you do need to accept them, don't you?
Yeah, and I think that's that sense of, some people sort of describe it as a sense of company if they've got something like the radio maybe, or the TV, or just having this constant background noise. And I used to be very like that, actually. When I was younger, when I used to study and do work, I always liked music on in the background.
Yep.
Whereas for many years now, I like complete silence because I'm very comfortable with that.
Yep.
But I do understand that sense that you just feel slightly maybe on edge or not, you can't quite relax. But I think learning to do so, I think, would be very beneficial.
And I know lots of people will say that they take an iPad to bed and watch something on television before. I mean, all this now, I'm thinking, oh, this is ringing things, and that helps them fall asleep. But they'll fall asleep with the television on, or, you know, an iPad with something on. But that's not necessarily doing the best things for your brain, is it?
No, I think if everyone can take time to unplug every day, I think that would be almost the best thing everyone could do for themselves, because you've got this very stimulating content. So it's usually fast paced, it's very bright lights, lots of flashing, lots of exciting things going on, which is very good if you're looking for that stimulation. But actually it's hard for your brain to unwind. You've also got the blue light emanating from screens, which makes you essentially more awake than you should be. So sometimes it's, you know, our bodies are very good at telling us what we need to do. We're also very good at ignoring it. So the idea is that we go through these highs and lows each day, and they're natural, and it, our energy goes up and it goes down. And we should, at the point where we're going to bed, our physiology is calming everything down. If you're starting to look at lots of screens, you're interfering with that natural process, and then it becomes more difficult to fall asleep. So anything we can do to unplug and unwind naturally, we're going to better tune into the way our body wants to work. So we will just feel more rested if you allow it to do its, what it's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that sounds very makes sense. Now, we've got creative rest. Shall we go on to that, or should we take a break and do it?
Yeah, let's take a break and come back.
Okay. I am with Dr. Alexis Willett. We are talking about Calmism, her book on eight habits for complete rest. We have just talked about sensory rest, and we thought for that we need a little break, and then we would go on to creative rest. So what about creative rest, and what does that mean?
Yeah, it was really nice to have a break to create that ease in our day, as we said.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about is finding space to recharge your ideas for creative rest. So the idea being that sometimes we get a bit stuck in a rut, don't we, with our thinking and what we're doing, and maybe we want to try something new, but we're always, I don't know, cooking the same dinners, or at work always coming up with the same ideas, and we want something new. And this is about slightly challenging ourselves to go and do something new in order to have new ideas. So I think getting outside is really important. It's important anyway, but actually connecting with green space, so the parks, the trees, the nature, anything green out there, again, we know that's very good for our well-being and helps us to feel relaxed and rested, and can sort of free up the brain to have new ideas in its own way. Blue space, even better than green space, funnily enough, in terms of the science.
Oh.
Well, we don't really know why, but perhaps it sort of just taps into that very ancient need to be near water or around water. So if you think of how we experience water, we can really tap into that, whether it's just listening to the rain pouring or the waves crashing at the beach, or whether you're in a warm bath and you experience that warmth around you. And actually, as part of the book, I got quite a few people to do cold showers, which they were not very happy about. And it was
I'm less keen on that than sitting on a lovely beach and looking at the sea.
Yeah, well, exactly. But it was a really interesting experiment to do, because we got people to do one where they'd have a normal shower, and then just at the end for maybe 10 seconds, they'd then turn it completely to cold. And universally, they disliked the process, but also universally, they all found it amazing afterwards. So it was a really good way of just feeling really energized and really on point. So I think
only 10 seconds.
Well, no, for a lot.
Oh, sorry.
It was just as part of the experiment. Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to be that cruel.
Yeah.
But it was
I'm trying to think of how much I could bear before, because you mentioned this way back in one of your first things about you could do the cold shower, but you don't have to have it on the whole time.
No.
And I keep forgetting, because I do it and then I sort of think, oh, no. And then
I think the best time to experiment with it is in the summer, obviously,
yes.
Because if you're getting
yes.
out into a cold, freezing house in the winter, that's less fun. But if you can just have a go and see how you feel afterwards. It's sort of just that end bit. So when you come out, you're sort of all slightly tingly, and especially if you have the cold water on your head, it's the bit that's the worst bit, but actually it makes you feel the best mm-hmm. when you come out. So it's, yeah, see how that works for you. And it really brings you to the moment, because if you're feeling the shock of the cold water, you can't be worrying about other things. You know, you're not daydreaming about other things. So that's quite an interesting one, but there's lots that you can do, and it's really just break out of your comfort zone. So if you walk to the particular shops the same way every time, why don't you go a different route? Unless you're in a rush, if there's no need to be there, you know, 3 minutes than if, you know, earlier than if you went a different way, why not try the different way? Because you, each time you do something new, whether it's a new hobby, just your usual habits, just break out of that habit and do something different. Go to a different cafe, go for a day out somewhere you've never been, go and experience something you've never done. You're helping your brain, you're being exposed to new ideas, new sights, new sounds, music, new experiences, which in itself will create ideas. But B, it may be that it forces your brain to work harder to now process this new information. Uh-huh. So it can't just stay in its little circle mm-hmm. of going round and round and round and round. So maybe that in itself will then create ideas. So you can try anything. Try a new hobby. Hobby's a great one. Or just, like I say, just go somewhere new, even if it's just for lunch or a little route, or you're driving a different way to the school on the school run. Anything
I mean, you are blowing my mind even just with these things, because as you said, it almost makes you feel slightly uncomfortable, because you think, but that's the way I know.
Yes.
And therefore, I don't have to kind of process anything to do that. But people talk about writer's block, and I'm guessing it's exactly the same thing. It's because you sit down and try and do something, and then your brain needs to be kind of open to new ideas.
And it's people always have their best ideas when they're doing something completely different, aren't they? It's never when they're trying to do that writing, or trying to do a lovely picture, or trying to write the perfect email. It's when they're, you know, it's in the middle of the night, or it's when they've gone for a walk and they're doing something else, or when they're having a shower, maybe not a cold
shower. Is often a good place. I get a lot of good thoughts when I'm having a shower. Yeah. It's funny, isn't it?
And
as long as you remember them when you get out of the shower, that's my issue.
That's it. So yeah, so all these ways we can do, and they're not hard. They're just pleasurable to do new things, and it's actually we also know that lifelong learning and always trying new things is actually good for you in terms of aging. So it's another good reason to give it a go.
Keep the brain, those little grey cells, moving. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for that, Dr. Alexis Willett. And say the book is Calmism, 8 Habits for Complete Rest. It's available as an audiobook as well, if you do want to walk along and listen to it, but also then take some time to have silence. And we are going to do one more of these on the last two. What's they going to be?
Yeah, we're going to talk about social rest and spiritual rest.
Oh, lovely. Well, thank you very much. We'll do that next month. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cambridge 105 Radio.